Well, big news hit the NBA a few days ago. LeBron James had a massive announcement, and after months of speculation, he announced that he was leaving the Cleveland Cavaliers. There was so much speculation about that. Yeah, it's kind of sad, isn't it? He was criticized greatly for it. LeBron had won two MVPs. He had led his team to win the Eastern Conference and to play in the NBA Finals. He had been an NBA All-Star. He had won his division. He had won tons and tons of games, but he had never won a championship before. And just a few days ago, he announced that he was leaving the Cleveland Cavaliers to move to South Beach and to join the Miami Heat. Some people around the league accused James of running away from his responsibilities as a franchise leader. In fact, Charles Barkley said he was disappointed that James had chosen to piggyback on the backs of superstars Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, who were also in Miami. Two other all-stars. The Magic, Orlando Magic general manager Otis Smith mocked James for preferring a lesser role with the Heat. He said, "I thought he was more of a competitor. The great ones usually stay in one location." And the fans were even burning LeBron's jersey because they were so upset about why he was leaving. But he had chosen to join Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade, two other NBA All-Stars, to form a super mega team there in South Beach. LeBron made the hard call because he believed that by joining the Miami Heat, he could do together with the other superstars what he could not do by himself. And it shocked the NBA. When I read this Sports Illustrated article this week, I said, that's what we are about to do at the Edge Church. That's what God is leading us to do as a local congregation over the next few months. And last week, I shared with you a little bit about some of the new direction that God has been leading us in. And I want to do that this morning. And you know, it's so interesting that God's word always speaks so clearly and so prophetically into our lives. Today, we have been in a series through the book of Ephesians. And this morning, we were going to go through Ephesians chapter 4, 1 through 16 anyway. But it's interesting that that exact verse is exactly personifies the situation that we're in today, moving forward with some significant changes right here at the Edge Church that have to do a great deal with the body of Jesus Christ. And that's what the apostle speaks about here in Ephesians 4. And so it's such a timely word for us in our study through the book of Ephesians and what God is saying to our local church today. That's interesting. There's four metaphors that describe the church in the New Testament. One is a flock, another is a fellowship, and then another is a family. But there's also a fourth word, a fourth metaphor that describes the local church. That's the body. And the Apostle Paul uses the term, the metaphor, the body of Christ to refer to the church in Ephesians chapter 4. And so to really understand what the church is about, we have to understand the body and how the body functions. And the interesting thing about the body is that more can be accomplished together than can be alone. Notice chapter 4, verse 16. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. In other words, there's no part of the body that's independent. There's no part of the body that doesn't have a function. Every piece of the body, every part of the body has a role. And when one part of the body is not functioning properly, then that's what we call disease and sickness. But when the body is working, all of its parts are working in harmony and all working together and in unison, because the body is interdependent, then that's where health and life occurs. And the same is true in the spiritual realm. And that's why more can be accomplished together than can be alone. A life could not happen if we just had a few body parts. It takes the whole thing. And we are about to add to the body in a great way. And I got to tell you the story. Over the last year, I've developed a friendship with a pastor in our area. His name is Pastor Eddie Graber. He pastors a church about 6 miles from here. It's about a 10-minute drive called the Church at Parker. And over the last year, we've kind of begun a friendship. As we started getting to know each other, we discovered that we had a number of mutual friends. And we discovered we went to the same seminary, and we had the same beliefs and philosophies about church, and we just found that we had so many things in common. And as we began to talk more, he began to share with me about his desire to see his church begin to move into a transition role. He was not ready to retire. In fact, Pastor Eddie probably will never retire. I suspect he'll probably be serving the Lord as long as God gives him breath. But as he has reached this part of his ministry, he has been ready to transition and to see a younger leader come on and begin to take their church to the future that God has for it. And he's been praying and asking God to direct and to lead their church and show their church what they needed to be doing. And he's been praying. They didn't really have the funds to go out and hire somebody else, but had a desire to have another pastor that would be ready to transition with Pastor Eddie. And we began to talk about the Edge Church and all the people that have come to know Christ through our ministry this year, and about the future and dreams that we have, and the fact that we've been meeting in a school. And so over the last few months, we've been talking about what could we accomplish if we took the best practices of the Edge Church and the best practices of the church at Parker, and we put those together into one church. How many championships could we win? And God has been leading and directing us over these last few months, and we believe that the Lord is leading us and directing us in this way. And on August the 8th, pending a church vote with their congregation, we will be moving to Parker to acquire this property and to merge our efforts with the church at Parker. And I believe it's going to be one of the most incredible opportunities that we have ever had in our church. This church is only 10 minutes down the road from us, has a beautiful campus of 10 acres. The property is worth about $2.5 million. It is completely 100% paid for. It's totally debt-free. And it will be a property that we could easily advance the mission of the Edge Church in a tremendous way by moving into this facility. We will also, as we move this way, we will double our staff efforts. We will have more leaders. They're averaging about the same attendance that we are on an average Sunday morning. And so our church overnight will instantly become twice as large as it is now. We'll have more people to serve. And we will also not have to take our stuff up and tear it down every week. Is that good? Yeah. And Shirley just said to herself, I know the Lord's in that. Yeah, that's good. That's good. But this has just been a great journey, a great friendship with Pastor Eddie. You guys are going to love Pastor Eddie. He's going to serve as our executive pastor of our church. I will be the head pastor. He will be the executive pastor. We'll be leading together, and you will love Pastor Eddie. He's going to add so much value to our church. He is a first-class Christian gentleman and pastor, and he has had so much experience. He's been in the ministry 41 years. He has so much experience and wisdom and leadership ability that he's going to bless you a whole lot as you get to know him and as you spend time with him and hear his story and learn more about he and his wife, Linda. They are a tremendous, tremendous couple and have been so faithful to the Lord over all these years. And God's used them in a wonderful way. They've been at the church at Parker for 11 years. During that time, they have accomplished a great deal. I am completely impressed by the accomplishments that they have surpassed and the goals that they have reached. When Pastor Eddie got to the church at Parker, the church was about $150,000 in debt. The church had diminished. A lot of people had left. There was like four or five families left in the church. It was a very hard time. Many people thought the church should just quit and give up. And he came in and was able to raise enough money for his salary from some friends and some family members. He was able to rescue the church and to lead them to pay off the rest of the note on that building as well as to grow and mature the church. So they have accomplished a great deal, and we're going to be blessed by having them as a part of our church family, and we're going to bless them, and they're going to bless us, and we're just going to have a great partnership together as we work together as one body. And the goal is to put on the same uniform so that we can win championships. You know, you guys know that this is a challenge every week, setting up our stuff, taking our stuff down. Can you just imagine what it would be like to walk into a building and it was the same way that you left it the week before? I mean, that would be amazing. Or if we actually wanted to paint a wall or take a wall out or put some decorations up or whatever, the potential is unlimited as to what we can do with this new opportunity before us. And I want to show you a video that we shot earlier this week that will give you a taste of what the building looks like and what this transition may look like as we move forward under the Lord's leadership. Let's check this video out.
Welcome to the new home of the Edge Church.
Come and go with me to my Father's house. Come and go with me to my Father's house.
This property is about 10 acres. It is completely paid for and is worth about $2.5 million. And it has sand volleyball pit, a backstop for baseball. We could have all kinds of activities for kids, as well as the playground and a fantastic youth center and worship center for Sunday morning services. This is going to be a dream facility for the Edge Church. Come on in, let me show you around a little bit. We are down in the worship center, and there's about 200 seats in this worship center, maybe a little bit more. And this will be the very seats that we will be sitting in as we worship every single week. And guys, can you imagine what it would be like to not have to set up and to take down the worship center every single week? And let me show you the preschool and nursery area. We've got all the tables and chairs, video monitors, toys, kids' restrooms, sinks, and the whole package. And this is the nursery.
Welcome to the playground.
$75 to $100 teenagers attend the student ministry every Friday night in this amazing student facility, complete with internet cafe, pool table, ping pong, rock band, all kinds of other video games, TV monitors, a kitchen. This is an amazing facility for our kids. There's no church that has a game room quite like this. I love playing Frogger.
Yeah!
The location of the new Edge Church, just 6 miles from Coyote Hills Elementary School, is a fantastic place. The new building is right here on Pine Drive in Parker, right behind the Adventist Hospital. It's about a 10-minute drive from our current location. And one of the greatest things for us is the fact that Pine Drive and Aurora Parkway are going to connect in the next few years, which will connect this whole section of Parker and Southeast Aurora even closer than it has been tied together before.
What do you guys think? Yeah? I'm fired up about playing Frogger at the church office. I grew up in the 80s, you know. I like that. And I can play Rock Band with all my favorite 80s tunes. That's pretty cool, isn't it? You know, this building really helps us fulfill the values of our church. One of our values is levels of excellence. You know, there's no doubt that having our own place helps us take our ministry to another level, in every arena. One of our other values is life transformation. We want to see people's lives changed by the power of the gospel. This building helps facilitate that. The church is people. We talk about that a lot at the Edge Church. The church is not a building, but a building does help us reach people. It's a tool. It's a catalyst, if you will. And having our own home will undoubtedly help us reach more people and to do so faster. I believe that this decision will catapult our church 5 to 7 years ahead of where we would be otherwise. By the time that we raised money, bought land, built a building, and did all that, we're talking about years and years and years of progress that would have to take place. We would skip all of these hurdles by making this transition. This is a win-win for everybody. It's a win-win for the Church at Parker. They secure their future pastor. They invigorate their congregation with 100 new people per week. They bring in our church partners, our resources, our staff at the same time. It's a win for our church because now we've been a homeless church. Now we have a place to call home. We can take the things that God has given us, the vision God has given us, and we can continue to let that flourish and to mature. We have a bigger leadership base. We have more opportunity. We have more resources there at our fingertips. It just makes sense for everybody that together we can do more than what we can do individually by coming together as a team. And I really believe that our church is going to win championships as a result of this incredible opportunity. It is a win-win for everybody. Several years ago, I had a chance to attend the Bodies Exhibit in New York City. Have you guys seen that? The Bodies Exhibit? That's some wild stuff, man. If you haven't seen it, they take live cadavers. Can cadavers be live? All right, whatever they are, like real cadavers. Is that better? They take real cadavers. You got to watch CSI to see that. They take real cadavers and they soak them in this kind of substance that prevents decay, and then they make all these displays out of them. Now, it sounds kind of creepy. I mean, it sounds scary. And I have a very sensitive stomach. I can't even watch ER on television without getting sick. So, you know, I was a little nervous about going to this. But they have all the systems of the body. They have the displays of I was going to say real-life bodies, but authentic, you know, deceased people. We can say it that way. They're in front of you. They've been soaked in all kinds of, you know, liquids that preserve it. So you can see all the blood vessels and capillaries in a body. You can see all of the bones, the skeletal system. You can see the circulatory system. You can see the respiratory system. You can see all the organs. You can see, you know, lungs and hearts. And then they'll cut them open so you can see the side view. And I mean, it's just an amazing, amazing perspective on the body. And several of the bodies that I saw had people in certain positions, you know, and it showed their muscle tone. Like one guy was throwing a football and he was, you know, had his arm back like this. And you could see how all the tendons and the muscles, you know, were moving together to help him throw that football. And somebody else was in the position of reading a book. And you could just see how the body functioned together. The thought that I had when I was there was that everything's connected together. There's not one section that's independent. Everything is interdependent. Everything works together. The bones and the muscles are tied together. The circulatory and the respiratory system have to work in sync. If they don't, then somebody gets sick. And there's amazing detail that goes into all of this, but the same is true in the church. It takes all the parts of the body to make the church happen. And the scripture goes on to tell us that each member is an important part of the body. Each member is important, an important part of the body. Look at verse 11 and 12. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for the works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. It takes every member of the body to accomplish God's plan. Every person is important. Every part of the body is significant. And, you know, that won't change. Now, the size of our church is going to grow. We're going to have more people. We want to grow. That's biblical. That's good. But it still takes every part of the body, every person that's part of the Edge Church still has a role to play, and that doesn't change. Whether we have 50 people or 5,000 people, every part of the body is important. And the role that we play is not as important because you know what? Every role is significant to God. Sometimes we look at the people that are up front and we say, well, those guys are really important, and then the behind-the-scenes people, you know, are less important. But in reality, every part of the body is significant. Every role that God gives us is a huge part of the church accomplishing what God wants it to do. And he gives a list of several spiritual gifts here. There's certainly more in the Bible, but in Ephesians, he lists out five of them. The gift of apostleship is the ability to start new churches and to lead movements of churches. It's people that can start ministries from scratch. And that's the gift of what we call the apostleship. There's also the gift of the prophet. Prophets speak the word of God with boldness and with truth. They see things in black and white. Sometimes they hurt our feelings, but they can speak the word of God with power, and sometimes we really need to hear that. The evangelist is the person that passionately shares the good news of Jesus Christ with other people. The pastor is the one who enjoys caring for the needs of others, shepherding, encouraging, loving others. And the teacher is the one who instructs believers in God's word. Now, all these gifts are important. They all play a role. And when we live in alignment with our gifts, then the church begins to accomplish the mission that God has given it. And so if an eyeball says, you know, I really want to be a lung, you know, we got a problem, right? The eye is supposed to see. It's not supposed to breathe. But when we get into the role that God has called us to serve in, and the other people around us begin to serve that part of the body, which is so important, then the church begins to advance and to accomplish the mission that God has for it. You know, unfortunately, many churches are like going to a football game where you have 25,000 people in the stands who stand around and watch 22 people play the game on the field. And what God wants the local church to be about is to be constantly moving people out of the stands, moving people from observers to participants on the team. And if you haven't found a ministry at the Edge Church, this would be a great time to join one of our ministry teams because every part of the body is important. And you know what? I believe you can do something in the local church better than anybody else in our church. And God's given you talents and gifts and abilities to do so. So when we live in alignment with God's calling and his giftings in our lives, we begin to accomplish great things as a church. You know, Pastor Eddie is more of a pastor-teacher type leader, and God's really given him some strategic and significant gifts in those areas. He is great at those things. I, on the other hand, am stronger probably as an apostle and evangelist. And those are important. And both are important in the body. And when those things begin to come together, then we form a dynamic team. And so I believe this will happen at the staff level, and I believe that it will happen in our entire congregation, that we will begin to strengthen our giftings and our callings and our roles in order that together we can accomplish more than we could individually. Now, when I was in the band in the sixth grade, my band director came to me one day and she said, Ryan, I want you to play the bass drum. I was totally humiliated. Playing the bass drum in the band is the most boring instrument in the band. I mean, if you think about it, you don't have any notes. You don't get to do any riffs or solos. I mean, when you play the bass drum, all you do is go boom, 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 boom. I did not want to play the bass drum. My mom had gone out and bought me a brand new red metallic snare drum, and it was the best looking drum in the band. The problem was I wasn't really that great of a snare drummer. I joined the band because there were cute girls in the band, and that's where my friends were. I loved music, but I wasn't musical, and so I had to play the bass drum. Later, I quit band. I quit music altogether after that experience. It damaged me. It was sad. But you know what? When our band performed concerts or we went to competitions and everybody played their part, the music sounded really good altogether. Now, it wouldn't have been very exciting if I was just playing a bass drum solo, right? And it wouldn't have been that great if the saxophones were just playing their part and the piccolos were doing their thing and then the clarinets were doing their part. I mean, that wouldn't have sounded really good. In fact, I always wanted to be a trumpeter because the trumpeters had all the melodies, you know, all the cool parts, the part of the song that you would hum. And I always wanted to be a trumpet player. And then I looked over and I saw the guy that played bassoon and I thought, you know what, bass drum is way better than bassoon. You know, I'll stick with that. But when everybody played their part together, the music was beautiful and everybody had a role. Later, I gave up the band and the bass drum. I got rid of my red metallic snare drum and I decided to focus on sports. I remember when I was on the varsity basketball team, I went to our point guard and I said, I want you to come to my side of the court more with the basketball. I'm only scoring about 7 or 8 points a game. I want to score about 15 to 20. And you never bring me the ball. You always go to the other side of the court. And my point guard, who was my good friend, he said, Ryan, the coach makes me go to the other side of the court every time down the court. We call a play. And I started thinking about it, and I realized we had a center that was All-State. He was All-District MVP. He was All-State. This guy was an amazing basketball player. He scored probably 25, 30 points a game. He was the go-to guy, and he got the ball every time down the floor, and he played on the other side of the floor. And our coach had designed it where the best player, the best scorer on the team got the ball the most. And we won a lot of basketball games. We had a tremendous basketball team. We won our district. We were state runner-ups, won lots of games, won lots of tournaments, had a lot of fun. But my role on the team was to play defense. And I would have much rather been a scorer. I mean, you know, I tried to get the point guard to bring me the ball more. But my role on the team was to play defense. And so I would oftentimes guard the best guard or forward on the other team, and that was my job. Now, I scored a few points, and I passed the ball, and I did some other things too, but my primary responsibility on the team was to play defense. And as I filled my role as a defensive player, then our team began to win championships, and it was fun. And you know what? Playing basketball, doing church, playing in the band, whatever we're doing is always good when everybody's playing together. And that's how championships are won. And that's what the body of Christ is about, man. It's not about us trying to be another body part or, oh, I wish that I was that or I wish I had these gifts or was this kind of leader. No, it's us just finding where God's called us to serve and to be that, because the body of Christ needs more defensive players and it needs shooters and it needs dribblers and it needs clarinetists and it even needs bass drummers, okay? And when all those things come together in the body, then the church accomplishes the mission of reaching people. So when we do what God has called us to do, we all grow and it energizes us. And it takes all of us to do that. You know, the scripture goes on and gives us another exhortation, another challenge today as I think about where we are as a local church. You see, the members of the body should work together in patience and humility. Members should work together in patience and humility. Look at verses 2 through 4. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit. This is a great word for us as we have so many other brothers and sisters in Christ that are about to join the team. We need patience and humility. You know, we're going into a new situation. We're going to be around some new people. It means we may do some things a little differently than what we've done before. The church is bigger. It's a new chapter. It's going to be exciting. But the way that we respond to that and respond to other people we've never met before or we've never served with or we've never or never even known before, is with patience and humility. And that's the attitude that we need to have as the body of Christ going into this thing is, hey, we just want to be patient and humble. We want to serve. We're here not to tell everybody what to do. We're not the experts on everything, but we want to be humble and we want to be patient and we want to be godly. And what we're doing is we're bringing together the best practices of the Edge Church and the best practices of the church at Parker, and we're putting those together into one team so that we can win championships. Isn't that good? Did you guys ever watch the Brady Bunch? I love the Brady Bunch. I used to watch the reruns. And the Brady Bunch is that story of the two blended families, right? One family had the girls, one family had the boys. They moved into the same house. They became one family. A lot of the scenarios and the plots centered around the fact that two families had become one. It's what we call a blended family. We're about to have a blended family. Okay? If you've been remarried and you've been a stepmom, you know exactly what I'm talking about. In the spiritual realm, we are a blended family. We're about to be a blended family. And you know what? There's some wonderful opportunities that come with that. I'm sure there will be challenges along the way. I got to tell you, 100% of our leadership has been behind this change. 100% of their leadership has been behind this change. We haven't had one person in either church that has said, we don't think this is a good idea. We shouldn't do that. So I think the transition will be very good. It will be very positive. But I also know people, and I know change. And sometimes there are hurdles that have to be cleared whenever we change things and we do things different and there's different personalities and whatever. How are we going to respond? With patience and humility. That's the way we treat the body of Christ. And in doing so, we're going to have a great experience with the Brady Bunch, right? So what do we need to do from here? Here's what I need you guys to be doing. Number one, I need you to be extremely prayerful. Okay, I need you to be prayerful. I need you to be praying about this transition. I mentioned just a minute ago, the church will vote on this on August the 8th, which will be a few weeks from today. Okay, at that time, we will begin to make plans for a specific date which we will transition. There's still some other things up in the air. Some renovations need to be made on the building, some upgrades, some changes. So it's probably going to be more like October before we would actually move over there, but which is fine and good. And we're completely comfortable being here, and that's fine because we need some time to get things together. But I need you to be praying about that and really asking God to make this a wonderful, wonderful transition, an opportunity that we can reach a lot of people with the good news of the gospel, and that this would just be one of the most dynamic things going on in this whole southeast corridor of the Denver metro area. And then also, I need you to be charitable. We're going to need to raise some funds to fix up this building. There's some things that are in disrepair. There's some changes that need to be made. There's some equipment that's not there. We need some more security for our children's ministry. There's just some things like that. And I don't want to get into all that this morning, but I do want you just to begin to pray about that and to think about your involvement in helping us purchase and do some things in that facility that are going to facilitate reaching people to change lives. And then also, we need to be flexible. And I mentioned that there has been just total support for this in every way, but at the same time, we got to be flexible because there's change. There's change involved, and God wants us to be flexible. The result of that will be that we'll maximize the potential of the Edge Church, and we will call the name of the church the Edge Church at Parker because we anticipate having other campuses and other sites in the future. So this gives us a chance to focus on our strength areas, gives them a chance to focus on their strength areas. The two become one together. We have a blended family. We have already seen 90 people commit their lives to Jesus Christ in the last 12 months in our church. Did you guys know that? Yeah, it's been awesome. It's been a great journey. Yeah, 90 people. And that's without a building. Now, what could we do if we actually had a facility? You know, just imagine that. Just think about that for a minute. What would it be like? Could you imagine what it would be like to see our church grow significantly and to be able to do the things that God has put in our hearts to do. This kind of stuff doesn't normally happen. I have church starting friends all over the country. I've been a church starter for a while. This kind of stuff is very, very, very unusual, guys. We don't have time to go through all of the rationale and the reasoning behind that, but I got to tell you, this is a God thing. This is a God thing. This is not normal, everyday church starting type stuff. We're talking about massive, massive, massive blessing. The Lord has been good to us, and He has blessed us, and He is constantly taking care of our church. He has from the very first day that we got here. But God continues to provide, and His provision is powerful and unbelievable. And I just believe God has some amazing things ahead for us to see lives changed. It's going to be cool. We get to be a part of reaching people and expanding God's kingdom. And I just think it's going to be some of the most exciting days of our spiritual lives in the coming months. Does that sound good today, guys? Yeah? Good. Let's just stand up all over this room. Let's just have a word of prayer. And maybe today you've never met this God that we've been talking about, and you've been here today and you've heard the word preached, and maybe you've never committed your life to Jesus Christ. Maybe you'd like to just take a moment to invite Him in to be the leader and the Lord of your life. And we could just bow our heads for a moment, close our eyes. Nobody moving around. Everybody just quiet for a moment. The Bible tells us that Jesus died on a cross, and He rose from the grave on the third day in order that our sins could be forgiven and that our lives could be transformed. And today, maybe you'd like to just step across the line of faith. Maybe you've been coming to church. Maybe you've even read some of the Bible. Maybe you've watched somebody talk about Jesus on TV, but you've never crossed the line of faith. You've never said yes to Him. And this morning, the Spirit of God is moving in your life, and you would like to say yes to Christ. Would you just pray this prayer with me to say, Lord, I know that I have sin in my life. I pray You'd forgive my sins and that You'd make me a brand new person. I'm putting my faith in Jesus and what He did at the resurrection so that my sins could be forgiven and I could be a part of Your family forevermore. And we pray this all in Christ's name. Amen.